The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time has come.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. Before all this happens, however, they will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand. For I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all of your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back. Every year at this time, the reading cycle begin to offer us apocalyptic readings, like the one you just heard, with stories of wars and insurrections, earthquakes, famines, persecutions, and stars falling down from the sky. Apocalyptic readings. And it's appropriate that we hear them. You know, they are in the Bible. They have to be heard at some point. It's appropriate that we hear them at this time of year, when the sky grows dark and the weather grows cold and the year begins to draw to a close. It's almost like nature itself is reminding us that this doesn't last forever. You know, the world's not going to keep on spinning forever and ever and ever. And one day all of us, we're all going to come to our own end of days. It's appropriate that we should hear about it now. However, when you hear readings like this, inevitably it raises the question of what does this mean? And perhaps most to the point, what does this mean for us right here, right now? And I can tell you that it means two things. Okay, two things. Number one, Jesus telling us that discipleship in him is going to be hard. And number two, because it's hard, it's going to lead you to give testimony to the gospel to others. Now, these readings, they mean all kinds of things, speculative. People have speculated about them for centuries and centuries, and most of those speculations have proven to be spectacularly, embarrassingly wrong. Okay, but I can tell you that it means two things, and this one year in and year out. Number one, discipleship in Christ is going to be hard. Imagine a coach speaking to his team before the beginning of a season and telling his team, "We can win the championship this year, but I want to warn you, it's going to be hard. You're going to have to sweat. You're going to have to suffer." Our Lord speaks to us in very much that same way. And why? Because Christ doesn't take second place ever, that's why. And putting him in first place leads to, figuratively speaking, wars and insurrections. I mean, God won't take second place in your life. And you know what that means? That means that if Christ is to reign in your soul, he's going to reign over everything. Everything, that means your sexuality,
That means your wallet. That means your marriage. That means your relationships. All the hardest things, the most important parts of life, and people are reluctant to give those up, aren't they? Wars and insurrections inside your heart. Definitely true in families. You know this. Christ wants to reign in a family. There's going to be wars and insurrections, and you've already experienced them around the dinner table, at Thanksgiving and Christmas and family reunions, at the office water cooler, in the presence of friends. It's hard. And because it's hard, number two, it leads to you giving testimony. People ask you, why do you believe this? And you give testimony. Let me tell you, that testimony that you give is vitally important. Without it, some souls will be lost to eternal damnation. Allow me to illustrate with a little story, okay? A little story. This story takes us back to the closing days of World War II. It's a story of a man named Hans Frank. You might guess by his name, a German. Man you probably never heard of before. However, Hans Frank is one of the most monstrous criminals who has ever lived in all of history, no exaggeration. Very, very few people in history personally responsible for the death of multiple millions of people, but one of them was a man named Hans Frank. He used to be Adolf Hitler's personal attorney until Hitler appointed him to be governor of Nazi-occupied Poland. Now, jog your memory, remember your history. World War II broke out on September 1st, 1939, when German panzer tanks rolled into Poland. And you know, they took over real quickly. It was hardly even a fight. And the one placed in charge, and I mean absolute dictatorial authority, was a man named Hans Frank. He was in charge of four concentration camps, including Auschwitz, including Birkenau. And he was in charge of the destruction of the city of Warsaw. Now, allow me to jog your memory with a little bit more history here. Warsaw, capital of Poland. A lot of you know that it was absolutely obliterated in World War II. 90% of the buildings in Warsaw were destroyed. And worse yet, 90% of the population was killed. Warsaw used to be a city of like 1.7 million people, fewer than 200,000 people survived the destruction of the city. But what you might not know is that it wasn't destroyed in a bombing raid. Warsaw was destroyed on purpose. Warsaw was destroyed on purpose. If you're curious, you can look up it. It was called the Pabst Plan. And the one who pulled the trigger, figuratively speaking, was Hans Frank. He destroyed museums, churches, palaces, personal residences, libraries, gardens. 90% of the buildings were destroyed. And 90% of the population. And as you can imagine, when the war was all over, he was arrested, captured, and taken to Nuremberg for the military war tribunal. And he was convicted of crimes against humanity. And the sentence of the court was that Hans Frank should hang by the neck until he was dead. But as he ascended the gallows, someone asked him, "Do you have any last words?" And he turned and said, "Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy on me." Now, how does it happen that one of the most monstrous criminals in all of history utters such pious words at such a moment? Well, that leads us to another story. It's a story of a young Franciscan priest. His name was Father Sixtus O'Connor. Youngest of seven children, an American, born in New York. But his mother was from Germany. Grew up speaking German in the home, spoke perfect German, even studied in the university in Germany till the war broke out. He fled the country. Returned to the States and joined the army, where he became a Catholic chaplain in the Third Army under legendary General George S. Patton. Father O'Connor fought on the front lines won the Silver Star. He personally helped to liberate at least one concentration camp, saw firsthand the horrors that were brought about by people just like Hans Frank, which is why he was so surprised at the end of the war to be asked by General Patton himself to be the chaplain at Nuremberg for Germans who were awaiting their trial and execution for crimes against humanity. Chaplain to the convicted Nazis at Nuremberg. He hemmed, he hawed, and in the end he said yes. So he went to Nuremberg. He was a Franciscan. And he knew very well that St. Francis of Assisi meant a lot more than to write a cute song when he wrote the words, "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring love." There was a lot of hatred among the captured Nazis at Nuremberg, but there he was preaching the gospel to generals and field marshals and heads of state awaiting their execution. And as you can imagine, most of them scoffed, right? Most of them were hard of heart, but some of them listened. And one of them was a man named Hans Frank, who came to Father O'Connor with tears in his eyes and said, "What can I do to make up for all of the harm that I have caused?" And Father O'Connor answered, "There is nothing that you can do, but there's very much that Jesus Christ can do. Man will never forgive you for what you have done, but God will." Hans Frank was never baptized, never heard the gospel proclaimed in his life, asked for baptism, was baptized right there in prison. And as he climbed the gallows waiting for his execution, his last words, and doubtless in all sincerity, "Jesus, have mercy on me." Why is it so important that you bear witness to the gospel in times of hardship? Because without it, souls that God created for eternal life will be lost to eternal damnation. That's why. Jesus here in the gospel stands before the temple in Jerusalem. Did you know that in the temple of Jerusalem there was a wall? There once stood a wall, and the wall was to keep the Gentiles, that is the non-Jews, out. And if any Gentile crossed that wall, the penalty was death. No exaggeration. In fact, there was a sign on that wall written in Greek and in Latin, hopefully that all the Gentiles could read it, and it said, "Any Gentile that crosses beyond this wall will be responsible for his own death." And the Roman authorities gave the temple officials the power to enforce it. Between Jews and Gentiles, there had been centuries of hatred, animosity, division, suspicion. But then, brothers and sisters, something happened. Someone came. Not a new set of laws, not a new set of philosophies, but a person. Because of the person of Jesus Christ and the proclamation of the gospel, enemies who hated each other for centuries, who divided the world into us and into them, gathered at one table, celebrated one Eucharist, called God their Father, called one another brothers and sisters. The gospel has the power to do that, and I want to tell you, nothing else in this world does. Politics will never do it. Only Jesus Christ. And how is he proclaimed? He's proclaimed in times of conflict. He's proclaimed in times of hardship. It's what led St. Paul to tell the Ephesians, Jesus has broken down the wall of hostility, abolishing in his flesh the commands and ordinances, creating in himself one new man in place of two, and making peace, and reconciling both of us to God in one body through the cross, bringing hostility to an end. Only Jesus Christ can do it, and he asks you to cooperate. It will be hard. It will be hard. And one of the most chilling passages in the Catechism, it says that one day the church will conquer, the church will reign, but it won't happen by a gradual ascendancy. We won't just, you know, preach the gospel and more people will begin to believe that we're right until everybody signs up. It won't happen that way. If you're curious, look us up. It's the Catechism number 677. It says that the church will imitate Jesus Christ in his suffering and in his death. How did Jesus Christ win the world to himself? Not by his golden eloquence, not by his inspiring words, not by his mighty miracles, but by his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. And it's going to be the same for you. All the power is in the cross. So please, God counts on you to speak up. If Father O'Connor hadn't spoken up, Hans Frank would have gone to hell. And who knows? If you don't speak up as well, many souls might be lost. So there's an apocalyptic message for you. As one year comes to a close and to another begins, let's remember the trust that God places in us, especially when it's hard. And let's be of joy and of good faith. Raise up your heads and see. Your redemption is near at hand. Amen.